Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chagiga Daf Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the bottom line of Daf Vov Omid Beis. Tanan Hosom. We have a Mishnah that may be familiar to many of you because it's part of the early morning davening that many say. The following Mishnah, Eilu Dvorim She'ein Lohem Shiur. The following are mitzvos that do not have a requisite amount. Hapeya vabikurim vareayon gemilus chasodim vesalmud Torah. Peya is a type of tithe that people leave in their fields. After harvesting their field, they leave a corner of the field unharvested. That's called peya, and the amount is not stated. Any amount. By leaving any amount, you are fulfilling the payah requirement. On a rabbinic level, so there is an amount, but for our purposes, we're focusing on the source in its, we'll say, simple or superficial form. So payah does not have a quantity. Vaha bikurim. Bikurim are translated often as the first fruits. This is an offering that's presented to the Kohen. Every farmer that has a grove of trees, so the first fruits, the halacha of Bikur implies to the different species that the land of Israel was blessed with. So those are given to the Kohen, and it does not say in the Torah how much is given. V'hareayon, this is a term we'll come to later. This is actually the focus of our discussion. Ugmilus chasodim, and doing acts of loving kindness, v'samut Torah, and Torah learning. These do not have an amount, an assigned quantity. On the side of Limor, we have a nosei, a topic heading, l'faresh, we're here to explain ha dekotoni ha reayon ein lo shiur. Reayon is associated with the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash on the holidays. Omer of Yochanan, Kisvurim anu lomar, we were of the opinion that harayayon ein lo shiur lamalo, avol yesh lo shiur lamato. That on a Torah level, there isn't any maximum quantity, but there is a minimum quantity. Meaning that as far as how much you are to bring, maximally bring as much as you like. On a minimum level, the thinking was that you shall not bring something, a sacrifice, that's worth less than a ma'al kesef. The thinking was that shiur ma'al kesef, which was an amount that we saw in our Mishnah, the thinking is that is a Torah requirement as a minimum amount for the mitzvah of re'iyah. Rav Hoshaya Ribi, Achibo, Rabbi Hoshaya Ribi Limed, until Rabbi Hoshaya the Great came and taught, HaReayon Ein Lo Shiur Lo Lamalo V'Lo Lamato. Reayon, the mitzvah of bringing, of appearing in the Beis HaMikdash, has no maximum nor minimum quantity from the Torah. Aval Omru Chachomim, HaReiyo Mo'al Kesef HaChagiga Shtei Kesef. Rabbinically, though, the Re'iyo, the Ola, which is brought on the holiday, known as the Olas Re'iyo, that has a minimum rabbinic requirement of one ma'al kesef, and the chagiga, the shlomim, that's brought on the holiday, known as the shalmei chagiga, has a minimum amount required in its value of two pieces of silver. My hore ayom. If we glance at Rashi to understand what the Gemara is asking, Rashi, mai horeayon velo tono horeiyo. The Mishnah does not use the expression horeya, rather it says horeayon. De lehave mashma deme ola. Had it said horeiyo, I would have thought, or that word horeiyo would have implied the amount you have to spend on an ola. De luhashto lav bedomim mashma. By using the word horeayon, it indicates to us that we're not dealing with a value. Elo b'mitzvas riyas ponim, but rather the mitzvah of appearing. So what is the mitzvah of reayon? And on the side of the Gemara, you'll notice that we have a nosei mivneh heading. As we go on in the Gemara a bit, you will notice Roman numerals appearing 1 and 2. These are Shnei Lishonos, two versions, B'machlokes Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish, Eich Lavo La'azora B'Shar Yemois HaRegel. We will see we will eventually see a point of difference between, a point of controversy between Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish, how one is to enter the temple courtyard on the subsequent days of the holidays. Sukkot is a 7-day holiday, and Pesach is a 7-day holiday. So outside of the first day, where there is no argument, the other days, how does one come? Im or Beli Korban, with a sacrifice or without a sacrifice? Now we continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rias Pone Bazora. The Mishnah that says Horei Ayon doesn't have a shiur. This has to do with your appearing, your physical appearance, appearing in the Azora. Rashi says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rias Ponim Azora, Kama Ponim Shuchofetz, any amount of times that he desires, Bo Umara Atzma Bazor, he comes and appears in the temple courtyard. The Ein Tzorch Lovi Korban, B'chol Riyav Riyah, and he does not have to bring a sacrifice upon each visit. The Gemara continues, Reish Lakish Omar Rias Ponim B'Korban. Rias Ponim, the appearance that one makes in the Azora, must be accompanied by your bringing a sacrifice each time. And the Gemara now goes through several stages in building up to focusing on what is the point of controversy between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Be'ikur HaRegel, on the first day of the holiday, Kule Almo Lo Pligi Dirias Ponim B'Korban, that the appearance that one makes into the Azora is with a sacrifice. Ki Pligi B'Shar Yemos HaRegel. The argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish refers to the subsequent days of the holiday. Kol Hecha De'Osa V'Aisi, wherever he would come and bring with him a sacrifice, Kule Almo Lo Pligi, the Mekablinon Mine, everyone agrees that his sacrifice will be accepted. Ki Pligi Da'asa Velo Aisi. The controversy exists in a situation where you're on the, during the subsequent days of the holiday, a person comes into the Azora without bringing with him a sacrifice. Rabbi Yochanan Savar Rias Ponim Bazora. Rabbi Yochanan has said that the mitzvah of Re'ayon is appearing physically in the temple courtyard, the chol emas dosi, that whenever he decides to come, lo tzorech lasi, he does not have to bring a sacrifice. Reish Lakish Omar Rias Ponim B'Korban. Your appearance in the Azora is with a sacrifice. The chol emas dosi, whenever you come, tzorech lasi, you have to bring with yourself a sacrifice. You can't come empty handed. As the Gemara unfolds, you'll notice a series of triangles. Most of them appear in one direction, and you'll see then triangles in an inverted direction. So on the side, we have the triangle featured. Aceve, the word Aceve is highlighted with the triangle. These are Kushios al Rabbi Yochanan, with the triangle point facing upwards. That represents challenges to Rabbi Yochanan's approach. And the inverted triangle, Kushios al Reish Lakish. They represent challenges to Reish Lakish's approach. We also use a double underline to highlight the expression ki pligi. In other words, this is where the Gemara focuses in Lashon number 1 and later on in Lashon number 2 in the second version, where do Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue. So we turn to the Gemara after presenting the circumstances under which Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue. We're talking about the subsequent days of holiday, excluding the first day. And you come to the Azor. Are you able to come empty-handed, or is that forbidden? Esvei, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, we're at the first triangle. Reish Lakish challenges Rabbi Yochanan. The pasuk says, V'lo yira'u ponai reikom. You shall not appear in the Beis HaMikdash empty-handed. Omar Le, Rabbi Yochanan answers, Be'ikr harekel. And this dashed underlining that we do here on this omid, you'll notice that if you just skim down, you'll see each time the dashed underlining appears, it's highlighting the expression Be'ikr harekel. In other words, all of these questions that are posed to Rabbi Yochanan, he'll be giving the same response, that when you see a requirement of coming with a korban, that is a reference to the first day of the holiday. Esvei, and now a question is raised from a Tanaic source. V'lo yera'u ponai reikom. Bezvochim. Do not appear empty-handed, but rather come with zvochim. Zvochim are animal sacrifices. Ata oimer bezvochim o'eno elo ba'oifus u'menachas. You say that the appearance must be with animal sacrifices, animal slaughterings, animal sacrifices. Maybe it is a reference to bird offerings and meal offerings. V'din hu. Logic would say as follows. Nemro chagigo lehedya v'nemro re'iya legavoa. There's a mitzvah of chagigo for which the individual benefits. The commoner benefits. He brings a sacrifice, a korban shlomim, and he eats from it. And re'iya is also stated, which is an ola, and that's legavoa. An ola is a sacrifice that is completely consumed by the fire, going completely heavenwards. Ma chagigo hamur lehedyo zvachim, just like the chagigo, which is stated for the private person, is an animal offering. Af re'iyo hamur legavoa zvachim. So too the re'iyo, which is for the Almighty on high, it must be an animal offering. Uma hein zvachim olos. The animal sacrifice that we are referring to are olos. Atoim olos o eno elo shlomim. You say that the re'iya is brought as an ola. Maybe it's a brought as a shlomim. V'din hu, and logic would say, Nemro chagigo lehedyo, v'nemro re'iyo legavoa. Ma chagigo hamura lehedyo b'roi lo. Just like the chagigo, which is stated by the commoner, it is a sacrifice that is fit for him, he eats from it. Af re'iyo mura legavoa, so too the re'iyo, the mitzvah of bringing a re'iyo, a korban, when you appear, a korban that's brought legavoa for the Almighty, b'roi lo. It's something that is fit for him, and hence the Almighty obviously doesn't eat anything. So it's a reference to its being burnt, which is characteristic of a korban ola. V'chein bedin, and likewise, it's expected that it should be like that, that it should be an ola as opposed to a shlomim for the korban or the mitzvah of re'iyah. Shelo yehei shulchan chamole v'shulchan rabcha reikom. It wouldn't be proper to have a situation where your table from which you're eating is full of food, and that's a reference to the chagigo, which is a korban shlomim. And if the re'iya were also a shlomim, so then shlomim is something that people will eat from, so the table of the master, of the Almighty, is left empty. Therefore, the logic states that the re'iyah is an ola, just like we saw the Chagiga is something that is primarily for the commoner, there it's a Shlomim. Now all of this source was brought in to show that one cannot come to the Beis HaMikdash during the holiday empty-handed. So that represents a challenge to Rabbi Yochanan. Omar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan answers, Be'ikur HaRegel. All that is taught in this source about the necessity of bringing sacrifices, that's a reference to the first day of the holiday. Esvei, Reish Lakish, LeRabbi Yochanan. Again, Reish Lakish raises an objection to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yuda, Omer, Shalosh, Regolim, Bashana, three times during the year, Yisrael, Nitztavu Yisrael, La'alus Beregel. The Jewish people were commanded to rise up to Jerusalem. B'chag HaMatzos on Pesach, U'b'chag HaShavuos, U'b'chag HaSukkos. V'ein Nirin Chatzoyin. This is an expression that the Gemara will deal with later. Literally, it means that they don't appear in parts, in sections or fractions. Mishum Shenema Kol Zuhurcha. Everyone together. The Ein Nirin Reikonim, and this we dashed underline, this is the main point of the question, and one does not come empty-handed. Mishum Shenemar Velo Yeru Ponai Reikom. So you see from here, from this Tanaic source, that you cannot appear empty-handed in the Beis HaMikdash. Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan answers, Be'ikur HaRegel. That restriction is limited to the first day of the holiday. On the first day, as we saw earlier, everyone agrees that when you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you must come with a korban. Now the triangle shape inverted. Esvei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan now raises a challenge. Yeroeh Yireh. This is a drosha that we've seen numerous times since the beginning of the Masechta. The word appears in the Torah in the pasuk Shalosh Pomim Bashana Yeroeh Kol Zuhurcha. It's true we read the word as Yeroeh, but if we didn't have a tradition on how to vocalize the pasuk, you would have read it as Yireh. So the fact that would have been a possibility without a tradition, that also has significance, and that we call the ksiv. The kri is a term referring to how we look at psukim as they are read. The ksiv is the way it is written. So we see these words Yeroeh and Yireh, and we say as follows: Ma ani b'chinam, af atem b'chinam. Just like I, says the Almighty, come, and there is no, I don't bring anything, I come, chinam means literally free. So to you, when you come, b'chinam, you come, you can come empty-handed, free, without anything. And needless to say, the pasuk of Yeroeh, in which we're darshaning Yeroeh and Yireh, one referring to Yeroeh as the person who appears in the Beis HaMikdash, and Yireh is a reference to the Almighty that comes to see the person who traveled to the Beis HaMikdash. What is the point here? So Rabbi Yochanan sees in this source, Af Atem Bechinam, you can come just like the Almighty comes empty-handed. Ela Kolhecha De'asa V'lo Aisi. So now we're leading into the second Lashon. Wherever a person comes and doesn't bring anything with him, to kuliyamu lepligi dial umischazi v'nafik, that such a person can come and enter, make his appearance, so to speak, and then leave. Ki pligi, the machlokus between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is the osa of icy, referring to a person that came and brought with him a sacrifice. Rabbi Yochanan di omar rias ponim bazora. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that said that Reayon is Riyas Ponim Bazara, Riyas Ponim Hu De'ein Law Shior, Ha LeKorban Yesh Law Shior. As far as your appearing, that doesn't have any assigned maximum quantity to it. Number of times you can come, as many as you like. However, the korban, though, does have a shiur. So what Rabbi Yochanan is telling us here in this second Lashon is that you personally can come as many times as you like to the Azorah. However, regarding a sacrifice, there is a shiur, there is a quantity. And what that means, you can see this in the Rach commentary, that once you brought a sacrifice, you are not to bring any more. So once you brought your holiday sacrifice, that's it. You don't bring any more. And if you do, it won't be accepted. Reish Lakish Omar Rias Ponim Bekorban, which means the Afilu Korban Nami Ein Lo Shur. Just like you can come as many times as you like, so too you can bring as many holiday sacrifices as you like. Esve, and here, based on the Rabbeinu Hananel commentary, we understand this to be a question of Reb Yochanan on Reish Lakish. The pasuk says, "Hokar raglecho mi beis reecha." Hokar has to do with something that is very dear or special, beloved, but it also has to do with infrequency. Make yourself very valuable by limiting the amount of times that you come to the Beis Hamikdash. That's hokar raglecha mi beis reecha. Beis reecha, from the house of your friend. And Rashi says that's a reference to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Beis Hamikdash. So now, in raising this question, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that your coming with korbanos should be infrequent. So that's a challenge to Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish will answer, Hasam b'chatois v'ashamas. The pasuk which is suggesting to make your sacrifice bringing infrequent, make it infrequent with regard to sin offerings and guilt offerings. And what we're basically saying is try not to sin. Avoid sinning. And by avoiding sinning, so you're going to be avoiding the necessity of bringing these sacrifices. And this, with this answer in mind, Kidderebi Levi, we bear in mind the teaching of Rabbi Levi. In other words, this teaching of Hokar Raglecha Beis Recha as a reference to Chatos Neshamos is in accordance with Rabbi Levi. The Rabbi Levi Rami. Rabbi Levi raised the following seeming contradiction. Ksiv Hokar Raglecha Mi Beis Recha. This pasuk says, make your appearance in the Beis Hamikdash infrequent. And as we indicated before, make your appearance with sacrifices infrequent. Uksiv, avo beisecha ba'olos. This other pasuk says, I will come to your house, to the Beis Hamikdash, with sacrifices. In other words, many sacrifices. This pasuk would seem to contradict the sentiment echoed in the pasuk before. Lo kashya, no, there is no difficulty. Kan b'chatois v'shamos, kan b'olos u'shlamim. The pasuk that says, make your korban appearance infrequent, that's with regard to sin and guilt offerings. The pasuk that indicates, come as many times with as many korbanos as you like, that's a reference to Ba'olos Ushlomim. These are sacrifices that are primarily brought as gifts, as voluntary offerings. So with regard to that, come as often as you like. Tanyo Nami Hochi. We have a Tanaic source supporting this analysis. Hokar raglecha mi beis reecha, that is bechatois vashamos. Make your appearance with sacrifices infrequent, that's with regard to sin and guilt offerings. Atoim bechatois vashamos, o eino ela ba'olos shlamim. You're claiming that it's a reference to sin and guilt offerings. Maybe it's a reference to the ola and shlamim type offerings, that should be limited. Kishu Omer Avo Beisecha Boilus Ashalem Loch Nidorai. When you have this pasuk in Tehillim, Hare Olos Ushlamim Omur, this pasuk deals with the Olos Ushlamim. Therefore, So then, what am I going to associate the pasuk of Hokar Raglecha with? So the pasuk that says Hokar Raglecha, which means make your appearance infrequent, that's a reference to the appearance with sin and guilt offerings. However, when it comes to Olos and Shlomim, there, in fact, there is no cap on the amount. The Ein Nirin Chatzoy. Now, we saw in the source above, if you need, we have a little star to the side. You can align this with the star that you see further up, where the source had said Ein Nirin Chatzoy. Sova Rav Yosef Lememar. We should point out before we go further in the Gemara text on the side, we have a Nosei, a topic heading, Machlokis Rav Yosef Abaye. We'll see a disagreement between these two authorities, Befirush Haditani, with regard to explaining that which it said in the source, Ein Nirin Chatzoyin. So we continue in the Gemara. Sova Rav Yosef Lememar. Rav Yosef thought to say, Man de Isle Asora Bonim, someone who has 10 sons, Lo Lisku Hoidno Chamisha Ulamochar Chamisha. Today, he brings 5 of them with him, and the next day, 5 others. So that Rav Yosef is of the opinion at this point that Ein Nirin Chatzoyin is a type of exhortation to fathers not to bring his families in sections. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, Omar Le Abaye. Abaye responds to Rav Yosef and says, Pshita, what you just described is something that is obvious. And by saying Pshita means it's so obvious, I wouldn't need a pasuk to tell me that a father shouldn't split his family into two, part coming today and part coming tomorrow. Hei minayu mashvis lehu poishim, vehei minayu mashvis lehu zrizim. Which 5 sons should be relegated to the realm of poishim, of those that are lackadaisical, that lack diligence, and which one should be assigned the role of the diligent? It's unfair to bring only part today, which is a sign of diligence, leaving the rest of the family to come later the next day, which is a sign of lack of alacrity, lack of diligence. So it's obvious that a father should not split the family into two. You don't need a source to tell me that which is so obvious. And of course, this term of Ein Nirin L'Chatzoyin is all derived from the pasuk called Zechurcha, that all come together. Elakra l'mayosa. So what does the pasuk come to tell me? Answer, lichid achirim. It comes to teach me the teaching of the achirim. And this is a piece of Gemara that we have seen before, so let's enjoy the review. The Sanya Achirim Oimrim. The Achirim is an opinion, a certain opinion. They Achirim hold. Hamekametz v'mitzarif nechoshes v'abursi. These are 3 professions that are characterized by foul odors. A mekametz is someone who deals with dog excrement for the purpose of tanning certain kinds of leather. V'mitzarif nechoshes, one who forges copper at the site where it's mined. There's a very foul odor that one experiences there. And Habursi is a tanner, a leather tanner. All of these people are Pturim Minaria. These are people that, on a daily basis, walk around with a very foul odor emanating from them. They are therefore exempt from the mitzvah of Riyah Shenemar, Kol Zechurcha. Mi sheyochol lalois in Kol Zechurcha. The pasuk says that Kol Zechurcha is obligated to do Aliyas Regel. So that tells me he who comes in a massive group, who comes together with other people, so someone who is capable of coming with others, so he is obligated to come. Yotsu Elu, to the exclusion of those aforementioned artisans or craftsmen, they do not have an obligation to come. She'ein yecholim lalos in kol sukkah. They cannot come with together with all the others. They are odoriferous and repelling, and therefore they can't come as part of a large group. And therefore, we learn, like the Acherim say from Kol Zechurcha, the exclusion of those kind of people that create a foul odor, or there exists a foul odor about them. They are exempt. On the side of the Gemara, we have a new topic heading. Eze korbonis bois rak min achulin, the eze motor af min hamaiser. Which korbonis come, financially speaking, only from common money, non-holy, rather mundane personal funds, and which sacrifices can be brought even from miser? Miser is the tithe that one separates from his produce on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the agricultural cycle. So one separates his 10% of his fruits and brings them to Yerushalayim. We call that Meiser Sheni. If he can't bring the fruits, he redeems the fruits, and the sanctity settles upon cash that he set aside. And that cash, can it be used to buy sacrifices? So we now turn to the Mishnah. Olos B'moed, Bo'os Minachulin. The thinking right now is we're talking about an Olas Re'iyah that one brings on Cholamoed. Moed is a reference to the intermediate days, the non-holy days of the holiday, the more weekday type intermediate days. So Olos, that one brings during Cholamoed, Bo'os Minachulin. The way we're translating the Mishnah is basically what we call the Havamin. It's the setup for the eventual question that the Gemara will raise. Vashlomim min hamaiser. The Shlomim offering, and Rashi points out in advance of the Gemara that we're talking about the Shalmei Simcha. These are Korban Shlomim that one brings in order to achieve, to provide meat, and thereby fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha on the holiday. So those sacrifices can be purchased from miser funds. And we say miser funds, were, as we said before, it's a reference to the money that one had set aside in order to redeem the miser sheni produce. Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach Peshamay Omrim Min HaChulin Ubeis Hillel Omrim Min HaMaiser. On the first day of Pesach, so Beis Shammai says that the sacrifice must be purchased from common funds, from mundane funds, and Beis Hillel says you can use even Maiser. This line is at this point vague. The Gemara will have to deal with it and specifically later on. The Mishnah continues, Yisrael Yoitzin Yedei Choyvosa Benedorim Udadavas Uva Meiser Behema. Yisrael is a term, as opposed to Kehanim, the general population fulfills their Simcha obligation, their holiday joy or holiday Simcha obligation through all kinds of sacrifices that one might bring. Nedarim and Udadavas are different vow type offerings that one took upon himself to bring a personal sacrifice in a vow form, we call neder or nedava. Meiser behema is the tithe one separates from his animals. Any given year's animal births, 1 out of 10 is set aside as a tithe. And therefore, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha, you can fulfill it by eating all these different kinds of korbonos, nedarim, nedavos, meiser behema, which that animal, that tithing of the animal is also brought as a sacrifice. Va'kehanim b'chatois v'shamos, the kehanim as opposed to Yisrael, can fulfill Simcha through their consumption of sin offerings and guilt offerings. These are sacrifices that only Kohanim are allowed to partake of. But even so, a Kohen who receives a portion, he receives a Chatas or Osham offering, his eating of the meat on Yom Tov enables him to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha. Ubebechor, firstborn male animals that a person who owns a flock or a herd of animals, any firstborn male animals is given to a Kohen. Ubechazavashok, the Chazavashok sections of a Korban Shlomim that every owner separates and gives to a Kohen. With all of these different elements, a Kohen could fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha on the holiday. Avaloba oifois veloba menachas. However, Simcha cannot be fulfilled with birds. Birds are brought as offerings. The chatas of is a type of sacrifice that is brought and is eaten by the kohanim. Nevertheless, the mitzvah of Simcha cannot be fulfilled through the Kohen's eating of bird offerings or meal offerings. Rashi, toward the end of the Mishnah commentary, the lower section of the narrow lines, Rashi says, Avaloba oifos, bechata sa'oif, the bird sin offering, she'en sova ela beboser behema. Satisfaction is achieved only through the eating of animal meat. So the Gemara, yalaflas, will be sourced in the Gemara. The Gemara opens up with a question that lasts a number of lines. Ela oilos, the thinking right now that olos is a reference to the oilas ri'ya. Ela oilos b'moyed hu debois min achulin ha'biyom tov min ha'maiser. Are you telling us that if you bring your olas ri'ya during chol ha'moed, so you can bring it from chulin, from your common animals? However, if you bring the ola on Yom Tov, then it has to be brought from Meiser. That's what one could infer from the Mishnah as it is. Since the Mishnah specified Bamoe Bos Menachulin, it leaves room for one to infer that if it were on the holiday, then the ola would be purchased from Meiser Sheni funds. Being that that's how we've drawn an inference, we now ask, Amai, why should that be? Why should a Korban Ola that he brings on Yom Tov itself, how could it be that that comes from Meiser? Amai, why is that? Dovor Shebechovahu. This is an obligation. It's a sacrifice that one doesn't voluntarily bring. It's the Torah imposes it upon him. V'chol Dovor Shebechovah, now a rule, a very important and famous rule, all sacrifices that are obligatory, eino bo ela min achulin, the funds used to purchase them must be from personal funds, from chulin funds, and not from meiser sheni funds. Now, as far as we are concerned, the Mishnah remains vague, because the Mishnah states the bringing of olos on chol ha'moed, and then they must come from chulin, leaving room to infer that which is brought on the holiday proper can be brought from meiser. And we just pointed out that cannot be the case, because that which you bring on the first day of the holiday is an obligatory sacrifice, and you cannot use meiser funds for korbanos that are obligatory. We continue with the Gemara's question. V'chi teima, you might say, ha'kol mashmalan, that the Mishnah's point is to teach me the following. The oilos b'moyed ba'os, b'yom tov einon ba'os. That olos are brought, the olos is brought only on chol ha'moed, and cannot be brought on the holiday proper, on the first day of the holiday. Now, if you say that pshat, That's a problem, though. If that's what our Mishnah is telling me, come on, Kabei Shammai, is the Mishnah then a reflection of the opinion of Beis Shammai? As we've said many times in the past, when you see the name Beis Shammai associated with Halacha, it's probably going to be something that we will not be accepting, will not be considered authoritative on a halacha lemaisa level. So here we have a Mishnah, and by trying to draw an inference from the Mishnah, we're going to come out saying that olos are brought on Chol HaMoed, and they're not brought on Yom Tov proper, on the first day of Yom Tov. Well, if you say that, Keman, who holds like that? Kebeis Shammai. Are we then going to be saying that our Mishnah is a Mishnah taught in accordance with Beis Shammai? Disnan, Beis Shammai Omrim, Mevi'im Shlomim, V'ein Somchen Aleim, Avolo Olos. By suggesting this reading, the above reading of the Mishnah, that olos are brought only on Chol HaMoed and not on the holiday itself, that would reflect Beis Shammai, who says that on the holiday proper, you can bring shlomim. You don't do the act of smicha, that's a hand placement on the animal's head, that you don't do on Yom Tov. You don't lean on animals. Avol lo olos, but you will not bring an ola on the holiday proper. Ubeis Hillel Omrin, Mevi'im Shlomim V'Olos V'Somchen Aleihem. According to Beis Hillel, you can bring your Shalmei Chagiga, the Shlomim offering, and the Ola holiday offering, and even do Smicha on the animal on Yom Tov. Well, the point is, at the end of this long question, is that the last suggestion was that our Mishnah is teaching a halach in accordance with Beis Shammai, and that's an untenable position. Therefore, we have to go over the Mishnah, realizing that it was left abbreviated, and we have to fill in information. And thusly, the Mishnah is to be understood. Olos, nedarim u'nedavos, olos that are brought voluntarily. B'moyed bois, b'yom tov einon bois. These voluntary or vow-based olas that one wants to bring, those can be brought only during Chol HaMoed, not on the Yom Tov day itself. There is a comment made in Rashi that we'll look at together. You'll notice on the fifth wide line of Rashi under the Gemara text, it says, B'yom Tov Einon Bos, the vow-oriented or vow-based olas that one brings are not brought on Yom Tov proper. V'afilu le-Beis Hillel, even according to Beis Hillel, Sviro Le Latana Damas Nisan, our Mishnah is of the opinion that Nedar Mudavas Ein Kraven B'yom Tov, that voluntary personal type sacrifices are not to be offered on Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a day of many molocha restrictions, so if it's not absolutely mandated and obligatory to bring on Yom Tov proper, which is the case here, you're not obligated to bring the Nedar Mudavas on Yom Tov proper. So even Beis Hillel holds that olos that are nedar minadavos, one does not offer on Yom Tov. V'chisharu Beis Hillel be'oilas ri'io v'shalmei chagiga afal pi sheyesh lan tashlumin, that which Beis Hillel allows, the bringing of an olas ri'io, the obligatory holiday ola, and the shalmei chagiga on Yom Tov proper, even though there are makeup days, nevertheless ikur mitzvosan b'yom rishon d'chtiva chagos moisei b'yom rishon mashma. The first day is the primary day for fulfilling the mitzvah, the first day of Yom Tov, and therefore the Olas Ria on the Shalmei Chagiga, emphasis on the Olas Ria, is an exception, that it can be brought, according to Beis Hillel, on Yom Tov proper. We continue in our expansion of the Mishnah. The olas ri'ya bo'o afilu b'yom tov. The olas ri'ya, even though it's a korban ola and people don't eat from it, it nevertheless can be brought on Yom Tov proper. Kshi bo'o eino bo'o elo min achulin, and when it is brought, it must be brought from personal funds. This is a personal obligatory sacrifice, and hence you cannot use sanctified monies for that purpose. the Shalmei Simcha, Boyin Af Min HaMeiser. The sacrifice that is known as Shalmei Simcha is can be brought even from Meiser monies. The Chagigas Yom Tov Harishon Shel Pesach. This is a standard Korban Chagiga. Literally, it's the Chagiga that's brought on the first day of Pesach. Beis Shammai Omrim Min Achulin. Beis Hillel Omrim Min HaMeiser. Beis Shammai says that this Chagiga that's brought on the first day of Pesach must come from personal funds. Beis Hillel says that it can come even from Meiser. The Rashi explains that in truth the Shalmei Simcha are not an obligatory korban. Since it's not an obligatory korban, therefore Meiser funds can be used. They're allowed to be used. We continue in the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hochi. The Gemara now presents a brisa that reflects our rereading of the Mishnah. Olos nidorim unidavos b'moy boz b'yom tov eino boz. Voluntary Ola offerings can be brought during Chol HaMoed but not on Yom Tov proper. The Olas Re'iah bo afilu b'yom tov. The Olas Re'iah sacrifice can be brought on Yom Tov itself. U'kshei bo eino bo ala min achulin. And when you do bring your Olas Re'iah and you have to purchase an animal for that purpose, you can only use mundane personal funds. You cannot use Meiser Sheni monies for that. The Shalmei Simcha, Boyin Af Min HaMeiser, the Shalmei Simcha, Korban Shlomim that you bring in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha, that can be brought even from Meiser funds. The Chagigas Yom Tov Harishon Shel Pesach, Beis Shammai Omrim Min HaChulin, Ubeis Hillel Omrim Min HaMeiser. The Chagiga that you bring on the first day of Pesach, Beis Shammai says that must be brought from personal funds. And Beis Hillel says you can use Meiser funds for that. Now how in the world will Beis Hillel allow using Meiser funds for this Chagiga that's brought on the first day of Pesach when that is an obligatory sacrifice? And we've said already that when something is obligatory, you cannot use funds other than your own personal funds, to the exclusion of Meiser Sheni funds. Those are monies that you had set aside in order to redeem the tithe that one separates on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the sabbatical cycle. As far as Beis Hillel, who says you can bring it even from Meiser, this we'll have to explain later, as we already indicated, the difficulty being that it seems that we're dealing here with an obligatory sacrifice, and those kind of sacrifices cannot be brought and purchased with Meiser funds. My Shno Chagigas Yom Tov Harishon Shel Pesach. Why does the Tanaic source that we just read refer to the Chagiga of the first day of the holiday with a specific reference to the holiday of Pesach? After all, the first day of any of the three holidays are characterized by the need to bring a Korban Chagiga, a Shalmei Chagiga. So why in the source is emphasis placed on Pesach? Omar Rav Ashi, Ha Komash Malon. The following is what the source is trying to communicate. Chagigas Chamisha Asar In, Chagigas Arba Asar Lo. It's with regard to the Chagigas Chamisha Asar. Chamisha is the 15th of Nisan, which is the first day of Pesach, that we say cannot come from funds other than personal chulin funds. The Chagigas Arba Asar, Arba Asar means the 14th of Nisan, that's the day before Pesach. That Chagiga, that Korban Shlomim that one might bring on the 14th, that can come from Meiser funds as well. And as we said, that Chagiga is not an absolute obligation. And as a result of that, the purchase of that sacrifice, the Chagigas Yud-Daled, the 14th of Nisan, that can be brought from Meiser funds. So the Tanaic source that emphasized Pesach was Pesach, meaning Pesach Day, the 15th of Nisan, to the exclusion of what we would say regarding the 14th of Nisan and the Chagiga that you would bring on that day. Alma, we see from here, we continue at the top of Chesamet Aleph, Alma Kosovar, Chagigas Arbosor, Lav Doraisa. From this, we conclude that the Chagiga, this Korban Shlomim that you bring on the 14th of Nisan, is not something that the Torah obligates you to bring. If it's of any interest at this point for us, the idea of a Chagiga, a special Korban being brought on the 14th of Nisan, this was the case when you had a lot of people joining together to eat one Korban Pesach. People wouldn't receive very much meat from the Korban Pesach, and we know that the Korban Pesach must be eaten al hasova when one experiences a certain amount of satiety, and if he hasn't achieved satisfaction because of the limited amount of Korban Pesach meat that he would receive because he's part of a large group, then he brings a Chagigas Arbosar. The Korban Pesach was slaughtered on the 14th of Nisan, and this Chagiga would also be slaughtered so that people would have meat to eat from in order to become practically satisfied before coming to eat from the Korban Pesach. The Gemara, as it continues, will be analyzing more of the source that we have just learned, but at this point, before we conclude, let us simply remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.